What is happening? Welcome to the Plus Pitch Podcast, your morning pitching podcast from PitcherList.com. My name is Nick Pollock. Today is June 12th. And yes, we are going to talk about baseball. Oh gosh, David Peterson. What a day for him. Jeepers Peters. 9 innings, 0 runs, 6 hits, 0 walks, and 6 strikeouts for a King Cole 36% CSW. That's a complete game shutout against the Nationals at Citi Field. It was lovely. And how does he do it? It's a 7.3 feet extension. For Peterson, he had a really good day just throwing these sinkers over the plate, having changeups inside of it, had the slider inside there as well. He had 4 seamers upstairs. It's pretty much what he does. I will say he had a better game against the Dodgers. Even though the previous game did not have the same line, I think he performed better there. There's a bit of Koufax here. There's a bit of blaming on the Nationals against the left-handed pitchers who they're really bad at. But yeah, he's a solid Holly. And that's how you should treat him moving forward. I am very curious to see how he performs against Atlanta and the Phillies next. I'm not saying that that is an auto start. Oh my gosh, you need to do it. Still, it's pretty hard to bench a guy who just threw a complete game shutout here. You have Clark Schmidt against the Yankees. Oh my gosh, I can't say anything. Against the Royals. He got the win, 6 innings, 0 runs, 2 hits, 3 walks, and 7 strikeouts. He didn't have the best cutter that we've seen, only 2 outs on 33 thrown, with just a 52% strike rate. But when it comes to Schmidt, he has 2 distinct plans against opposite-handed batters. That is, you are against either batter. You have curveballs against lefties and cutters, and then you also have sweepers and sinkers with cutters against righties. As long as one of those major pitches works for each one, that is the cutter here, the curveball here, my brain is just in fog because Jacob Mizorowski is starting tonight and I'm watching him live on Playback at 7:30 p.m. Eastern time. So come on down, playback.tv/pitcherlist. Come watch some baseball with us. It's going to be so much fun. I'm going to be there hosting that one. But with Clark Schmidt, he had his curveball into lefties and his sweeper away to righties. It worked really well. And now he's going against the Angels. And I think that sweeper sinker combo is going to go really well against the right-handers there. Cutters too. Okay. Zach Eflin against the Tigers got the win, 6.2 innings, 1 run, 5 hits, 1 walk, and 5 strikeouts. He's a Holly. He might not be the same 23-24% strikeout rate Holly as we see with others. He is on a winning team. What? The Orioles are not a winning team. I know. They are winning more, and Eflin is helping. He's going to get a fair number of wins. He's going to get those quality starts. He's going to give you good volume. He's a Holly. Jesus Luzardo. There's a lot to say about this, but the short thing is, look, he had two bad starts. I was actually looking for tipping. I saw Pitching Ninja put out a thing about glove placement and how he's tapping the changeup into his glove. The thing is, I actually watched his game against the Jays specifically looking for this, and he did it. Also on his fastball and his slider. He did a lot of that tapping. And maybe you could say there's just a little bit more with the changeup and slider and less with the fastball. Fine. I don't really think that why Luzardo was so bad was really because of that. He just wasn't throwing good pitches. And the four-seam was so good in this game against the Cubs. Jesus Luzardo spotted that pitch upstairs beautifully. And that's a big difference. You know, you can say maybe it's the confidence that he had of not being afraid of thinking he's tipping. I don't know. But yeah, he did change his glove placement as well. All that said, he destroyed it, and you should feel good about this moving forward. He's also going to have bad starts in the future, too. It's not like Luzardo was this immune pitcher before. He had some bad games. He was able to get through them more effectively than he has in the past, but in previous seasons, Luzardo has had amazing stretches and then also had amazing downturns. That's kind of what he's always been. I want to believe it's better because of that sweeper now. And yeah, we just keep rolling with Luzardo as a top 30 starter as a cherry bomb. Billy Falter did exactly what he was supposed to do against the Miami Marlins. 5.1 innings of 1 run, 5 hits, 1 walk, and 3 Ks. He only had 71 pitches. He had an early hook, and I don't really agree with that one. He could have easily gotten 6 here, but fine. 73% strikes in 31% usage without a single hit allowed on that curveball. That is really cool to see. The curveball dominating like that. Actually, this wasn't the best four-seamer I've seen from Bailey Falter. And it's also really interesting that the Marlins only threw right-handers against him. I didn't know that. But Bailey Falter, hey, you're in arbitration, and I wouldn't be surprised if the Pirates go, oh, dang, we don't want to spend money at all. We've got Bubba Chandler. We've got Thomas Harrington. We can figure this out. Let's just get rid of Billy Falter at the trade deadline, huh? Somebody who needs a decent starter and understands that maybe the 7.3 extension with a really good four-seamer should, I don't know, be better as an overall pitcher. Rays? Please, you should do it. Okay, you have Randy Vasquez against the Dodgers. He did well and almost got the gold start, but it was only 4.2 innings. If he went a little bit longer, maybe he would have gotten that. But yeah, this was definitely a Koufax start. That is the BABIP going his way. I do not believe that this is the answer of going four-seamers and sinkers only 30% of the time, as opposed to cutters and sweepers being the main driver. Some curves in there. I just don't think that Randy Vasquez is as good. On the other side of that was Ben Kasparias. Four innings of one earned run ball, three hits, two walks, and two strikeouts. So just two whiffs on 54 pitches is a little surprising, but I really like what he does. It's 97 mile per hour fastballs, four seamers at 18 inches of vert. He has a 92 mile per hour cutter to go with that and a sweeper against right-handers. And I think we're going to see more whiffs from this in the future. I think also as he continues to build up his pitch count, he might not see 97, might be 96. Still, I think the overall arsenal is good. Like, it's a good sweeper. It's a hard cutter. Four-seamer gets enough vert. Like, this should work out pretty well. Please just throw the four-seamer continuously upstairs. Please just do that. Also, Justin Rybolski. Hi. You're not being used, I guess. My understanding was that Kasparis was going to open, and then they said, hey, we want Kasparis being a starter. Fine, you went four innings still. Why not Rybolski after? I don't know. Maybe we'll see him at some point again, and we'll wonder what the heck is going on. He is very interesting of a completely revamped approach in velocity and everything, and I'm just really excited to see what we get from Rybolski in the future. I don't know if it's good. It's just, whoa, you throw 97 now, but it was only 12 four-seamers, but you did over 100-plus pitches? Like, what? You have Spencer Schmellenbach having an amazing game against the Brewers. I would arguably say it's better because even though it's 200 runs, it is only five hits in nine innings with zero walks and nine strikeouts, not five or six that Peterson had. I would take those extra strikeouts, I think, over the earned runs. And never mind. I prefer David Peterson's. Anyway, Spencer Schmellenbach, how you doing this, Mr. Crescendo? Well, it's still four-seamer based. It is a 98-mile-per-hour four-seamer at a super flat 1.8 height-adjusted BAA and near 7 feet of extension. Oh my gosh. I am so in shock that this is who he is now with terrible secondaries. And they're not terrible. That's not fair. He just doesn't get whiffs on them. It's 1 over 17 whiffs on his curve and slider, and that was a major part of his success last year that got me excited. The cutter was there for strikes, but it's not really well commanded. The splitter was good against lefties. That was a big, big improvement here. But man, imagine if Schwellenbach is doing this and also has the feel for his old breaking balls. It's possible his arm angle changed to get that flatter height-adjusted VAA, but that also then meant, and you know, increased his velocity too, but it meant that he doesn't have the feel for those breakers. And maybe he won't get them back, but clearly this is fine. So we're good with this, with Schwellenbach. Eduardo Rodriguez did well against the Mariners. He had a really good changeup to right-handers, and yeah, they allowed some hits and stuff, but boy, that location was good. The four-seamer and cutter were along the edges, effectively not much in the middle of the plate across the start. And it's possible that as a lefty, with the change of focus, that can work against the Jays, who are right-handed focused, and they generally do well against lefties. I'm a little scared for that one, though, for Erod. 6.1 innings of 200 runs here against the Mariners with a win, 7 base runners and 5 Ks. He'll get the White Sox and Marlins after that, though. So if you feel like you have to hold on to Eduardo for those next two starts of the White Sox and Marlins, I get that, especially in 15-teamers. In 12-teamers, I think you can do better. I don't feel like you need to wait 10 days with a dead guy on your dead roster spot, my gosh. Then save it for the White Sox and Marlins. I don't want to start him against the Jays. You have Kyle Hendricks against the Athletics for a gold start because he went six innings and got a win of 200 runs. Yeah, eight base runners and 3 Ks, but this is Hendricks. And this was really cool to see him go down and away with a changeup to lefties and only do front hip or super on the edge on the black away sinkers to lefties. Yeah, obviously like 86 miles per hour. And when I say 52% slow balls, I mean the changeup, not the sinker. But yeah, it's pretty cool to see success like this. Ryan Gusto against the White Sox got a win. Six innings, 200 runs, 7 hits, 1 walk, and 7 strikeouts. He allowed 4 hits on 13 cutters And the curve and changeup were just kind of over the zone-ish. This was just the four-seamer dominating 94, 95, generally upstairs. And yeah, he has good vert, 17 inches of vert, and he has that velocity, but the extension 6.4. The height-adjusted VA is exactly 1, so it's as mid as it gets there. Doesn't really feel like he should have continued success with this, right? And you need to have that kind of command on your fastball and hope that everything else just doesn't get destroyed and also face teams like the White Sox. I'm not going after this in a sacre verde that is in Athletics territory for Gusto. David Festa went against the Rangers. We had JP Sears, Logan Allen, and there's some interesting stuff here from Casey Mize, and of course so many others from yesterday's games, and we're going to talk about all of them after this break. David Festa against the Rangers got the win, 6 innings, 200 runs, 3 hits, 4 walks in, 2 walks in, 4 strikeouts. I'm so sorry. This was better command from Festa. Four seamer was generally upstairs, the changeup was very good down. The slider was away and less down. Only two sliders down away to right-handers this entire game, which I don't love. Just a 53% strike rate. But it did get 5 over 17 whiffs, and that's cool. And I do like the fact that his four-seamer changeup tandem is working well. So now David Festa gets Cincinnati in Cincinnati, not the Reds carpet. And then he'll get the Brewers. And I don't know if I love it because I know the shag rug is there for David Festa. The floor is still low, and I'm a little worried about it. I wouldn't necessarily run to the waiver wire for this at the moment. We do know the ceiling when these three things come together, and this was the most encouraging one I've seen so far. So take that as you will. It'll be a questionable start there. Logan Allen got the Reds carpet, though, and he did exactly what you wanted. He got a win, 6 innings, 2 runs, 4 hits, 1 walk, 6 Ks. Sweet. Thank you, Reds carpet. Now you do not hold on to Logan Allen, even though it's the Giants. I get it. I don't want to do it. No thanks. JP Sears against the Angels. This is interesting. I was talking to Eno on our weekly show, The Craft. And if you don't listen to that, I don't know what you're doing because, oh my gosh, listen to Eno talk about pitching and that's all we do. We just nerd out about it. We were mentioning that JP Sears throws these sweepers, and a lot of lefties are throwing sweepers to right-handers that are more effective than you should expect for an opposite-handed sweeper, right? Well, he stopped doing that. 5.1 innings of 200 runs, 4 hits, 0 walks, and 9 strikeouts against this right-handed Angels lineup. And he threw one to a right-hander. He threw changeups, four-seamer sinkers, and sliders instead. The slider is... Wait, hold on. It is the same velocity as a sweeper and pretty much the same drop, but is 7 inches less horizontal? It doesn't make any sense to me, but that worked. 5 over 14 whiffs, so I guess it's effective? I don't know. Maybe just like they expected it to go further and then it just doesn't, so it stays away longer, and that's good. It's a very, very weird thing that JP Sears just did. I don't know if I'm going to buy this against the Astros, as they're also going to be right-handers, and it just feels weird, but maybe? I mean, it's pretty cool to see JP Sears go changeups down, at least try to, and have a somewhat effective one, and then also finally locate the four-seamer upstairs, because he has a very flat attack angle. So, maybe. I don't know. JP Sears for Fears? I'll just call him JP Fears moving forward. Casey Mize, though, oh man, I've been really down on Casey Mize since coming back from the IL. He just hasn't had the same velocity, the same command, etc. But this was different. This was 5.1 innings of 200 runs. Yes, 8 hits, 2 walks, sure. 7 strikeouts, 95-96, like 95.5 on the four-seamer. And the splitter command was fantastic. He had 7 over 36 whiffs with an 81% strike rate. And not just like whatever over the zone I'm Taj Bradley's strike rate. Like, that was generally very good down and all of that. So the curveball isn't good. I like the sinker that he's throwing. He allowed a home run on it, but whatever. That wasn't a middle sinker. It was down and in, and Urias somehow got that. I think he's shaking off the rust from the IL. I think he's cruising now, and now he gets the Pirates, and I'm very much in for that. Eric Lauer did fine against the Cardinals, and then he opened for Spencer Turnbull. I mean, I don't even want to say opened. It was 4.1 innings of 200 runs. And then eventually got Spencer Turnbull for 2 innings and 0 runs. And he's at 90.8 miles per hour and threw just 29 pitches. He didn't command well. those 29 pitches, I gotta say. But no, we're not gonna go for this. You have Robbie Ray having a weird one in Coors, four innings and 93 pitches. Two earned runs, six hits, two walks, and five Ks. So really not that bad. It was just a lot of foul balls. Just not efficient. He did throw about 60% four-seamers, though. And I'm a little surprised that he didn't lean into the secondaries. And when you're allowing so many foul balls, yeah, it's because they're just sitting on the fastball. I'm a little surprised. It wasn't the greatest feel for the changeup or the curve or the slider, but the slider still generally did effective things down and into right-handers. Weird game for Robbie Ray. It is the second start in a row that he's been more in on fastballs. That said, it was 70% plus before, and now it's 58%. And yeah, I want that to be like 48%, 50%, but it was just a weird one from Robbie Ray. We're all good here. You have Walker Buehler, who has openly said that I'm going to start being more open and trying to tweak things and be like, all right, I need help, fix me, which I don't know why it took so long, but at least he's saying that now. Seven innings, 300 runs, six hits, one walk, seven Ks. Is he fixed? No. His four-seamer was 1-for-23 whiffs, so the 48% strike rate. It was up and out of the zone, which is cool, but it looks like his arm angle is a little bit different. It's like 1.2 height-adjusted VA, not like the 1.5, 1.6 when I was saying, hey, get that thing upstairs. It will work, right? Then you have this cutter, though, I really like against lefties. It's 91-92, and he's really trying to get that inside. That's cool. This was a game, though, of sinkers just kind of going middle-middle against both right-handers and left-handers. I don't really like that. And the slider is fine. I don't really think it's an amazing pitch. I don't really buy this one for Walker Buehler with those seven strikeouts and seven base runners. He'll go into Seattle, so he's going at T now. That could be good because, of course, it helps pitching in Seattle. But I don't really want to go after this at the moment. I really need to see that game of like, oh, dang, all these things are really good and you're executing and things are awesome. Kyle Freeland got a poor quality start inside of Coors. Great. Matthew Liberatore against the Jays. Five innings, 300 runs, eight hits, one walk, and four strikeouts. It was against the Jays as a lefty. Didn't really like the start. He was under 94. His changeup wasn't very good. It was just 5-for-15 strikes, but he did have a really good curve, and that saved him a bit from making this worse than it could have been. He goes into Chicago White Sox territory next time, which is great. He then gets the Reds carpet next, which is great. And then he's a lefty going against the Guardians, which is pretty good. So, all right. That sounds cool to me. I'm still going to keep going with Liberatore based on that schedule. I'm not as encouraged by Liberatore, I think, as others are. But yeah, this should be fine. Cal Quantrill, I kind of have a new name for him. And you know what? I don't like saying it because it's negative. But he got the loss against the Pirates and five innings, 300 runs, six hits, two walks, six Ks. So he's like Superman in that he is Cal-El. That is just too nice of a pun. And I'm sorry, Cal. I hope that you can do well. Zach Littell against the Red Sox. Six innings, 400 runs, eight hits, zero walks, and six Ks. He led four solo shots in Fenway. And I just don't really buy what he does. I don't think there's a slider, the splitter, the four-seamer. None of it is, none of it's that good. I just don't really think that you want to go with Littell. Jake Irvin against the Mets did not pitch as poorly as five innings, 400 runs, five hits, three walks, which suggests four Ks in there too. The curveball was hung to Soto, and that was deservedly a home run. And then he had a changeup that was down away to Nimmo that he hit Apotaco. Fine, whatever. He gets Rocky Road next. And I think Jake Irvin isn't pitching nearly as bad with curveballs actually located down effectively. Changeups generally down too. The four-seamers generally upstairs. Like, this should be okay against Rocky Road. Jack Leiter against the Twins. He's a hipster. It's so annoying. You might see one game, I was like, oh my gosh, he's finally figuring this out. And then the next one, no. This was 4-for-15 strikes on changeups. His heater was forced to land well over the plate. Same with the slider. He just didn't get that four-seamer upstairs at all. I'm just not there. And it is the Royals in Pittsburgh. And it feels like you still got to do it. You just don't know where you're going to get. I think you got to do it. You have Brian Wu, who has been stripped of his aces gonna ace tag. Six innings, five earned runs, 7 hits, one walk, and three Ks. This was the Diamondbacks, but you're an ace because you take down guys like the Diamondbacks, and you didn't. And his secondaries are just not working, especially against lefties. He had 9-for-24 strikes combined on changeups and sliders. That's not it. And the four seamer, effective. It's a very good pitch. It's upstairs. Cool. But you just got to have something more. And it's just the state of things. So I think it's going to be fixed over time. He's going to get the Red Sox at home. And then he's going to be in Minnesota and in Texas. That's all cool. And I'm going to start him. It's just he's not an ace at the moment. You have Chad Patrick earning a gallows pole with 19 whiffs. That's pretty cool. He only got five of those on his, or actually only six of those on the cutter. He got five on a slider, three on a changeup, some more on fastballs. But it was five innings, five earned runs, 7 hits, 3 walks. But eight Ks against Atlanta. You were going to start him here, so whatever. And that's kind of cool that he did this. What I'm seeing here is a guy who has a really good cutter. And everything else is just kind of fleeting in nature. That is, sometimes you get that really good executed four-seamer upstairs, and then you just don't. Or you get that changeup that is, oh, that's really good, and that one isn't. And there's a nice slider to complement the cutter, but whatever. I don't want to go for Chad Patrick right now against the Cubs. It's development. I think there might be a time that he actually finds something else to really pair with that cutter and make this a good 1-2 punch. He's not there yet. But you will get the Pirates in two, and that's fine with me. Chris Bubich went against the Yankees, and I did y'all an injustice in my head and my heart. I'm like, yeah, we're going to bench Chris Bubich, and I didn't put him there. I put him at probable start, and I failed you. I should have put him in questionable start. I even like wrote this roundup believing that I had put him in questionable start because I did not expect Chris Bubich to survive and make this work against the Yankees. So it goes. He had a bad game. He didn't locate his changeup well. He didn't do all the things he wants to do against lefties. And I do actually think that Chris Bubich is worse against lefties than generally righties, because against righties, he has that changeup working a lot better. But alas, he gets the Rangers next. You're going to start him there and we forget about this. Ben Brown didn't do well against the Phillies. Yeah, because Ben Brown isn't that amazing. For him to work well in this, it would be curveballs landing down for strikes. Didn't do it. So it goes. Fastball just got hit and he doesn't have enough in the changeup yet. So I don't really want to go for Ben Brown. He's a risky play against the Brewers. It can work. He can get strikeouts because he had 15 whiffs here because that curveball is just so good. But he essentially is the Wasker Enoa rule of you can't just have one really good breaking ball and that's it. You got to have more. Nick Lodolo allowed a grand slam on a changeup middle away and off the plate to Carlos Santana and that destroyed the day. And it, obviously, you shouldn't have had those guys on in the first place. But like, yeah, that's what happened here. And you should start Nick Lodolo against the Twins. He went 3.1 innings, 6 earned runs, 5 hits, 2 walks, and 6 Ks. And last but not least-ish is John Burke. 3.2 innings of 7 earned runs, 8 hits, 1 walk, and 4 strikeouts. Yeah, John Burke is not the guy that you remember from September. It is kind of cool that he went in on the curveball a little bit more than usual, more than any thrown pitch. It's also because the fastball and the slider were just allowing a ton of hits, so he needed to do something else, but obviously it was a bad day. But that is it for today. Make sure you come to playback.tv/pitchlist tonight. That is on Thursday night at 7:30 p.m. Why? That's Eastern time. Jacob Mizorowski is making his MLB debut, and I will be there covering it, also with some special guests as well. So make sure that you come on by, enjoy this beautiful thing that is Playback. We get to watch live MLB games together, synced up. It is incredible. You just got to have an MLB.TV subscription, which I know so many of you do have. So make sure you're there, playback.tv/pitcherlist, and also, of course, every weekday morning live streaming there if you want to ask me any questions, but that is it. So my name is Nick Pollock, and may your BABIPs be low, and your strikeouts high.